Blog Talk Radio.
Like I surrendered, I didn't do what I would pray. Living my life watching the weather, wasting time and chasing fate. I look at the life I've been designing, waiting around for my breakthrough. But I'm pushing my dreams to the side of me. I give you my all, I give you my all, and I'm not running anymore. I give you my all, I'm giving you all of me, all of me.
In my way, why bother? But when the
diamond leaves without pressure. Would the flowers even bloom without a little rain? Yeah, I hear you, and I can move in this one. I don't, 'cause I keep mountains too. Yes, I give mountains to you. I give mountains to you. You can go higher. You can go.
Tell me that my thoughts are not your thoughts, ways are not your ways. Still I find it hard to say, I trust you. And even though I know it's not my place, to the God that made the heaven, earth, and space, I need you. Help me make sense of all this pain. I'm encouraged by the testimony of those that overcame, but my heart aches for the single mom that's trying to maintain. She probably not able, she got that cane in her veins. It's like we build mountains with our own hands. Then we get mad at you cause we don't understand that it was us that strayed away, but still you had a plan to bring us back within your fold and keep us in your hand. I know these mountains you give us is only meant to take us higher, but we love the valley, so we pursue our own desires. It's a crying shame what we do to numb the pain. When there's power in your name, they hear the sick and hear the lame. It's like we fight against you like you ain't out here fighting for us. And all these trials and tribulations, giving the help grow is hard. I know it is, especially when you're scared of heights. And every time you turn around, like you got another fight. So I pray the words of speak, I flew to curb the appetite. And when the morning comes, I hope you're there so we can shed a light. Until then, I'll be sipping from the fountain. You found me on the rough side of the mountain, I'm gone.
Hello.
Welcome to another show, Prophetic Grace Network. Very happy to be here. Yeah, I just woke up, everybody. I went to the chiropractor today, and it's been a journey. I can tell you that much. But I'm doing what's necessary to help get this back right. But yeah, I was in a little pain, but thank God we still here. You know, pain is temporary. Sometimes you just gotta fight through the pain. Can't really focus on how you're feeling. You just have to focus on where you're headed. Sometimes what you're headed to you really don't know what you got to go through to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of us have this mentality that we shouldn't hurt. We shouldn't have pain, you know. We don't need to have any discomfort when we're walking with the Lord, especially if we're doing what God tells us to do, you know. But God can tell you to do a lot of things, and everything that you go through is necessary.
Right.
For what you are about to obtain. When Jesus walked the earth, you know, we didn't see that certain things was necessary. But God knows what's necessary. He knows what's necessary. And so I'm grateful that me knowing that he knows what's necessary for me to get to that place I need to be and what I have to go through to obtain it, which prepares me, which solidifies me, which validates me, is worth it. It's worth it. And so for me to be freed up from pain in my back, if I got to go through a little bit more discomfort, oh well, so be it. Come what may, whatever be tied, I know that God is going to take care of me. I know that he will. And so thank you all for joining tonight. I'm one of your hosts, Terrence.
I'm your other host, Tanisha, and today is June the 2nd, 2021. It is 7:12 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we're excited to be here. Like Terrence said, he's pushing through the pain. And, you know, we do it a lot of times as believers. Some believers get angry at God, you know, and that's not, you know, uncommon. And a lot of the times when you trace it, it's because they felt they were dealing with some sort of pain that as a believer they were somehow immune from. But we have to know as believers and humans that pain is part of life and that all pain isn't a negative thing. You know, even when your kids are growing, your kids will start saying, oh, Mom, my arms hurt or my legs hurt and all this kind of stuff. They go through these aches and pains, and they're growing pain. You know, when your body is stretching and growing, it causes pain. You know, when we give birth to children, pain is along with it. But the pain is an indication that the baby is coming because you start to have contractions and other things that start to go on in your body. That's an indication that a birth is about to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And then even getting the baby out of your body is just such an amazing, it's made in such an amazing way. But when these things are contracting and pushing and doing what it needs to get the baby out, there's pain that comes along with it. You know, sometimes when you don't get what you want, there's a type of pain that comes along with it. But sometimes what you want is not what's best for you. And so all pain is a negative. And so we have to learn how to praise God through it all. You know, when we feel pain, when we don't feel pain, because we know that God will use it.
Mm-hmm.
He will use it. He uses everything. And we have the promise that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, so that you know that your pain is not in vain. Because, you know, when you don't love God and you're not called according to his purpose, that means that there is a possibility that all things will not work together for good, you know. But when you love God and you're called according to his purpose, you have that promise. So despite the pain that you're going through, you know God is working it out. Like Terrence said, he has a goal to be pain-free, but right now, while he's in pain and having to go through discomfort to get to that level, he's willing to accept it and trust God with the goal of no pain. You know, nobody wakes up and says, put me in pain, but not allowing the pain to cause bitterness, to say, why me? Why do I have to go through this? You know, or I'm a believer. I do everything you want me to do. Why am I feeling pain and suffering. You know, parents and I were talking about suffering the other day and how it's part of life as well. And same thing like with pain, all suffering is not a bad thing. You know, suffering has a purpose. It teaches you things. And it actually brings you to a humble place,
mm-hmm.
to where you can see things with a different perspective. When you've been suffering and then you're no longer suffering, you're almost hypersensitive to everything because you've been suffering for so long. And so you have a laser vision to where you could see even the little things that you didn't see before. You know, if a person like, you know, like how Terrence is going through back pain, what's normal for me to just get up in the morning and just get out of bed is not something that he's able to do like I'm able to do. So I don't even think about that. I do because, you know, he's my husband, and so I see how getting up in the morning, something that most of us take for granted, is he got to make life decisions. Like, am I going to put my left foot down first or my right? Because he doesn't want to, you know, aggravate his back. And so when his back is completely healed, he's going to be grateful for that. Like, I'm happy to wake up and not be my back locked up or be in pain or having to ponder which leg, or how am I going to roll out of bed? Am I going to slide out? Like, how am I going to do this thing to minimize my pain? So when suffering causes you to have a more grateful heart, and of course people don't want to hear that when they're in the midst of suffering, but it does produce a sensitivity that you would not have had before. You know, if you suffered and had in poverty, for example, you know, and you had to just make it work where you just ate what was available. You wasn't eating for taste. You were eating to survive, you know. And then you come upon, you know, where you're wealthy financially. You would be hypersensitive to food choices and being grateful, like, man, I'm grateful that I'm eating these bowl of grapes because I want to and not as an entire meal to last me throughout the whole day. You know, there's just a sensitivity that comes along with suffering, but we're always trying not to suffer. But God uses everything. You know, like Terrence said, he uses it all according to his purpose. So pain is being used for God's purpose. Suffering, mm-hmm. you know, look at our Bible heroes and the pain and suffering that many of them went through. Even our Lord and Savior went through pain and suffering so that we have the opportunity in this day to choose who we will serve and to make him our Lord and Savior and to be cleansed of our sin and to choose God's will and to have life and life more abundantly. That choice for you did not come without pain and suffering for our Lord and Savior. So if he took the attitude that some of us take where we're trying to avoid pain and suffering at all costs, we wouldn't be in the position that we are in now. We'd still be having to go down into paradise and be separated from God in Sheol. You know, before Christ, there was a, you know, when we look at the story of the rich man and Lazarus, they were in the same place. They were just, one was on a side of torment and one was not on a side of torment. But it still was, both of them were separated from God. And so if Jesus would have said, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be in pain or I don't want to suffer, we still to this day would be separated from God in death. So even though we wouldn't be suffering in like the side of Sheol or Hades or the place of the dead that have the, you know, the torment side, we still would be separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight, you don't know what your pain and suffering is producing. It's doing something,
mm-hmm.
but you can't see it yet. You don't know yet what your pain is producing, but just trust God tonight. He's making it work for good. Good is coming out of it, you know. Good is coming out of it. You know, maybe you suffer from migraines and you're tired of migraines. You know, you've been suffering light sensitivity and loud noises and just everything. And you're like, why can't, you know, why I got to deal with this? You know, just believe for your healing and know that your suffering is sensitizing you. Because we live in a society that's so desensitized to everything. They're so desensitized. And give me one moment. Kids being loud. We live in a society that's desensitized to everything, you know, to where things that we should be sensitive about is becoming common, or it's becoming where people don't care. You know, there's such a disregard for other people's feelings, and there's such a disregard for life even. You know, I read cases and some of the things that I see are just so disturbing, and it just shows how desensitized the society that we live in really is. And so God will use our suffering to keep us sensitive. You know, we're not like the world. We're a peculiar people. And God's ways are not like our ways, and his thoughts are not like our thoughts. So he would use that person example for with the migraine, with migraines all the time, use their suffering, even though he's, you know, already healed them and their healing is manifesting, but he can use their times of sense, you know, of suffering to give them a sensitivity to ailments and people being sick. We hear about people being sick even now. We're in a pandemic still. And so people being sick, people are used to hearing that now. It's like starting to become part of normal where you're hearing people go to the hospital and die because whether it be COVID or anything else, but there's just a there's a desensitization in the society that we live in. And as believers, you know, maybe God is allowing certain things so that as his people, we can stay sensitive while the world is hardening and being desensitized. So just trust God tonight, no matter what you're facing or going through, just trust him and change your perspective. You know, a lot of the times some of the suffering is because of the way we're viewing things. It's not that we're, you know, it's kind of it magnifies. Whatever you focus on is going to be magnified. But if we will focus on the Lord, focus on his word, it will minimalize. Even if the problem is still present, you will change your perspective and give God glory for everything. You count it all joy.
It's true, because God's word is true,
mm-hmm.
And that's what we believe. And it's like I was sharing with a friend of mine earlier about if people really believe what they say they believe, then you see people doing what they say they believe.
Right.
You know, because the Bible doesn't, like, it gives us a overall view of how the world is going to be and how you should be in the world.
Right.
Although God does tell us certain things in secret, that's not in scripture. But it comes through the relationship. But it's still in scripture, even without being detailed in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as believers really need to move in the direction that what we say we believe wants us to move on. Because when you look at today, everybody has a voice. You hear the world say, you know, make your voice heard. Make your voice heard. Okay. Well, let me make my voice heard. But the underlying condition is make your voice heard only if it's in agreement with what we talk about. Because the moment your voice is being heard and you're saying something that's true and something that could alter the conditions. You're a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're a threat. But when you look at the world, the country, let's just look at our country, for instance. For those of you that are overseas, you know, hey, I know you got your own issues, but I'm talking about for us as the United States because, you know, this is just what I experience. And so here we are. We're in the United States of America. And when you talk about history, our history is taught that it's built on the Word of God. The U.S. is supposed to be built on the Word of God. And operating by the standards that the Word of God has set forth. You, when you go to court, they pull out the Bible.
Right.
Talking about, put your hand on this Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
Yes.
You know. We go through the protocol. But this is what this country says is built on. But when you come here, how is the country operating? Does America really believe what it was built on?
Mm-hmm.
And then what it charges others, what it uses to charge others to tell the truth? Think about the trickery of the enemy. The enemy knows. He said, grab this Bible right here. Put your hand on it. Swear by it. To tell the truth. Not just a little bit of the truth, but the whole truth. That I don't want no other sidebar conversation. Nothing but the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Then they say, so help you God. So I'm under the notion that if you're breaking out the Bible, this is what this country was built on. This is what the constitutions and all the laws in the earth should reflect. And this is where us as the body of believers, I believe, comes in now to remind us of what we said, remind us of what we were built on, because we have deviated from that far.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it every day on television, and I just constantly see preachers and people just teaching good messages, but not even addressing what's going on. We don't even put a voice into it. We moving in a fear-like mentality. But this is what I see the that's on the backbone of the body of Christ, and which has us slumped over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for us to get that up off us. So we can walk upright, quit seeing things and not saying things. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, we don't use scripture as propaganda. We don't use the Bible as just a prop. We really believe this thing. And so if we really believe it, we need to act like it. It's really time for us to start acting like it.
Mm-hmm.
And walking in our true authority and beginning to put it out in the atmosphere. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God.
Yes.
You know, we got work to do in this nation. We watching laws get passed that totally don't line up with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing things being done that totally doesn't line up with the word of God. We're accepting things that totally don't align up with the word of God. And we're doing it in the name of love. It's a false love, fake love. But that's what we're saying it is.
You're saying love wins.
Right. We're using the enemy always uses a little bit of truth. And trip you up, and get you operating out of the emotional realm.
Yeah.
Oh, that just makes my heart melt. Oh, that's so sweet.
Right, because who wants to say that they're against something that's done in the name of love?
Right.
Right? So the enemy knows how to trip people up, because then people say, well, yeah, I mean, how could it hurt if it's in the name of love? But as believers, we know better, because we know that love is God and God is love. So how do you do something in the name of God that's against God's way?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that, though, that's what they're claiming, that that's not the truth of the matter. People can say they're doing things in the name of anything, but that doesn't make it true.
No, it does. It does. It really does.
And so many believers are getting tripped up in that because of what's being said. But if they actually looked at what was being done versus what the word of God says and what God has to say about things, it doesn't make any sense.
It does.
So if it doesn't make sense, that causes what? Confusion. Mm-hmm. And God is not the author of confusion.
No. God is definitely not the author of confusion. He's definitely not the father of lies.
Mm-mm. But that's how a lot of believers are getting swallowed up. And that's why in these days, parents and I have always stressed this, you've got to be in your word and have your relationship with Christ, because if not, you know, you could fall victim. You could be deceived. If it wasn't deception, it wouldn't be called deception. Deception means that you don't see it coming. You don't, it comes very stealth, very sneaky. You got to be on your toes to be able to see deception, or you got to be armed with knowledge. Because if somebody's, again, saying they're doing something in the name of love, and you know God is love, and it's completely contradictory to the word of God, then you know that that's not true.
Right.
So you don't get, tripped up, because you already know that there's no truth to that, that it's impossible, that God is not double-minded. And doesn't, he's not both hot and cold, and requires you to, you know, because if you hot and cold, you lukewarm. So if God tells you not to be lukewarm, you know he's not lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for you to be able to identify that, you need to be asking for wisdom. And the prerequisite to receiving wisdom is having a reverential fear of God. Because a lot of people are living life, they with no fear of God. We see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, zero fear of God. And that's why they're making flat out stupid choices and dumb decisions. Because they have zero wisdom, because they don't have no fear of God. And when a person doesn't have fear of God, and they, oh, I'm so free, I'm not bound to any this, that, and the other, that's scary. Where you have no rules, you have chaos, which is why God created spiritual laws and rules and all sorts of boundaries, where there's no boundaries, there's no laws, there's no rules or no regulations, and it's a free-for-all, that's chaos. So a person who's not regulated by any spiritual laws and not governed by God is a chaotic person that's lost. That's like telling somebody to go somewhere, ain't no roads, ain't no maps, ain't no streets, ain't no way to identify direction and where you're going. You go, you're lost. If I'm trying to get somewhere and I have no way to identify direction, there's no moon, there's no stars, there's nothing to guide me, I'm lost before I even start the journey. I'm completely, the minute I fall asleep and the sun changes directions, I'm lost.
Mm-hmm.
Or the minute the wind changes directions, I'm just, I might as well blow off in the wind too, because I'm completely lost. And so we need to know as believers what God has to say about matters. God has an opinion about everything that's going on. And we need to quit being afraid to say what God says. Well, I don't see what the problem is. It's not about you seeing what the problem is. God has already spoken about it, so there's no point in your opinion. It's already done. If a house is already built, a masterpiece, and you go, well, I don't know if I would have put that pyramid is already built, or that house, or whatever it is. They didn't need your input. So at this point, you just talk about how it was built, but it's already done. God has already said what he said. It's already done. It's already written. So you don't have to interject your opinion about things when you're talking to people. You say what God says. If they have a problem with what God says, take it up with God. Take it up with the Lord. This is not my world. I did not create this world. The people are not my people. They are God's people. I am his representative. I am God's servant. So I'm going to say what he wants me to say to his people. I don't own those people. I didn't create them people. I don't rule them people. I do what God tells me to do because they are his people and I am his servant. And so as a body of Christ, we need to get it together and quit going anywhere the wind blows us. We need to have parameters. We can't be like the world, anything goes. Though I identify as a handbag, I identify as a lamp and all this other crazy stuff. It's crazy. People are entitled to their beliefs and their feelings. How about what you feel? What you feel is going to lead you in a bad direction, and your feelings are always accurate. Terrence and I were talking about this the other day. When you're having a panic attack, you feel like you're dying. Does that make it true? So should you be writing out your final will and your last will and testament and go find a grave and be ready to jump in it and let them pour the dirt on you? Your feelings will lead you wrong. You better go with what God says. You could be adamant about something and feel strongly about something and be 100% wrong. But we live in a society now that everybody's going to do what they feel. Everybody's all about feeling in the sight realm. Because of how I feel. Your feelings could change directions just like that. It don't take nothing for a person to feel one way. If that was the case, you'd still be with the person that you was crushing on when you was five. But at some point, you changed your mind. Your feelings changed. You still be wearing the same clothes that you was wearing in the 80s. But you not, because your feelings about it changed. Whether society influenced it or not, it doesn't matter. Your feelings about it changed. But feelings are not a reliable source on making decisions and life changes. You best be making them because of what the Word of God says. And you best be having your mind and your mental and how you move line up with the Word of God and not what societal norms are. Societal norms aren't godly.
Yes, and it's like you would think we would know better than that by now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, that's why iron sharpens iron. We really not checking one another like we should.
Mm-hmm.
When I say check somebody, I mean go to them and call out what's wrong. Call out what's wrong in love. You know, not just agreeing with them just because y'all are cool. No, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it should be. If you're going to stand for something, stand for it. If you're not, going on somewhere. The Lord don't fool with lukewarm people. So if you're straddling the fence, you ain't helping nobody. But we definitely have to stand up. We definitely have to get to that place where we are bold for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is definitely bold for what he in what he's doing in his agenda. You see people every day walk around here boldly wrong.
Mm-hmm. Loud and bold and wrong.
Loud, bold, and wrong. And yet and still, we just We shake our heads. We don't say nothing. We go on about our way. But then I challenge us as believers to really challenge your leaders. Begin to look at what you're sitting under.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what your leaders are doing. Pray to God. But watch your leaders as well.
Pray for your leaders.
Of course. Pray to God put you up under the right leadership. Because everybody that's in a leadership position doesn't necessarily qualify them to be a leader.
Right. There's two types of people in leadership roles. There are actual leaders and there's manipulators.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely. And so we just thank God now for our eyes being open to see what's going on, and that our hearts are being filled with a purity to serve,
mm-hmm.
and understanding what it means to serve one another, to serve one another, and to serve one another what's right, to serve them what's right, according to the word of God. And Lord, I just pray that a boldness manifests right now in this time over the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, and that the leaders be covered, the true leaders be covered and protected and come out of that bondage of fear.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, I break this spirit of fear that's on leadership right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We come against that spirit of fear and the spirit of loss and being without, the spirit of lack. Because fear stems from people even thinking that they might be without something, so they don't do something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I do that, I won't have this. Who told you that? So Lord, I just thank you that we hear you like never before in Jesus' name. And we just call forth those bold believers that are not afraid to share of the goodness, to share of your goodness to this world. Those that are not afraid to stand for what is right. Those that are not afraid in Jesus' name. Those that are willing to sacrifice their own lives as you did.
Mm-hmm.
For the good of everyone else. I call them forth right now in Jesus' name. That we do it in love.
Mm-hmm.
That we speak boldly in love. Not in anger, not in hate. Because we love that individual. We love that soul. We love the soul of the man. To where we want to see his soul rejoice for eternity. And so we do what's necessary. In Jesus' name, we call forth the finances that's needed. In Jesus' name, Lord, to be the tool that we use to get out what's needed to get out and to do what's needed to be done. In Jesus' name, open up this financial realm for us. The health realm, so we can be in good health to do the work. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the wisdom. We thank you for the discipline. We thank you for the organizing. Because you got to have discipline to be organized.
Mm-hmm.
When trying to get people to come together, it takes a disciplined organization to build that.
Yeah.
And Lord, we just thank you that but for that inheritance and being able to be disciplined in order to, so we can organize and so we can get things done.
Mm-hmm.
that need to be done so we can really quit wasting time and using the tools that you have provided for us to be used. No, we just thank you for things being clear to us. In Jesus' name. And that we begin to see things in a different way, in a new way. In a new way. Because Satan is defeated. Earth has no sorrow, but heaven can heal. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name for that being done. Amen.
Amen.
Caller's time. Yeah, we got a few in here. Let's go with it. First caller, 251-342.
Hi guys, this is Latrice from Alabama.
Hey Latrice,
hey, Latrice, how are you?
Hello, I'm hanging tough. How are you guys?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Doing
oh,
good.
God.
We're doing good. God is strong. He's still in the blessing business, for you to say.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for Latrice, Lord. We just thank you for the servant's heart. The servant's heart being amplified in you. It's like God is really like amping up your thirst and your hunger to serve kingdom principles, and to teach and to share kingdom principles to leadership. Because Latrice, you've been called for the big wigs. You know, you have influence over those in positions, in powerful positions, in decision making positions. And so God is giving you a way to be amongst them. And he's giving you a way to correct them as well, to call their hand on things. It's sort of like how the prophets were to the kings. You know, when the kings needed to know things, you know, they called a prophet's bull. Come on, tell me what this is, you know. But God is using you in that manner for leadership. Because you really want the kingdom of God to be evident. Because it's like people are sleeping on God. Mm-hmm. They like really sleeping on his blessings. They're taking for granted like all the blessings that they are submerged in every day, that they're subdued with every day. They take it for granted, and it's easy to get lost when things are going well. It's easy to get caught up into define what success is.
Amen.
So many think it's success based off of their own strategic planning and based off of this YouTube program that they looked at, you know, but true success is you being in the will of God, doing what God has called you to do. That's success. And he's going to use you to teach people, to teach those that's in leadership, like, look, what you got right now ain't success. It's not pleasing in the sight of God. So if you ain't pleasing God, you're not successful. The mind of the believer, the mind of the true believer. Lord, we just thank you for that, the amplifying. We thank you for the increase of focus in Latrice Heavenly Father, to really go forth, to go forth in what you called her to do. Called her to do so that you get glory out of her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The Lord gave me a scripture for you. It's Matthew 24:5. I'm reading it out of the Amplified. For many will come in my name, misusing it and appropriating the strength of the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, and they will mislead many. And God's going to use you to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to use you to point out the false and the ones who are doing it in the name of Jesus. That's the scary part, that they're doing it in the name of Jesus and even making false claims to be Christ. And people are going to be deceived. Because it says here, and they will mislead, and they will mislead many. Many is not a small amount. And for a person to mislead many in the name of Christ, that means that these are believers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read that as the King James. King James reads, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For many are coming, lying, and many will be deceived. And God's going to use you to say that's deception. And, of course, if somebody's coming saying that they're the Christ, they're not coming with a pitchfork and horns. They're coming, you know, wanting to end world hunger and trying to, you know, say that they're healing people and wanting to make the world a better place, a whole we are the world in the flesh. And for you to say, no, this person is coming with peace and love in their heart and wanting to heal people and lead them to God, that's demonic and it's not of God at all. It takes a lot of boldness to be able to say that. It's one thing when something's demonic and everybody can see it, and it's another thing when many cannot see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it. And you're bold enough to say, that's deception.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to make you look, you know what I'm saying? You imagine how it's going to make you look. But God trusts you with that mission because you don't care about the look of it. You care about the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? What's true? I don't care how I look. If I got to look a certain way, so be it, but you can't say you wasn't warned. You can't say that. So, Lord, we just thank you for Latrice, Father God. We thank you for the boldness. We thank you for the vision and the eye to be able to identify deception. And we thank you, Lord, that you're using her to guide people and to even train people so that they're not caught up in the snare of this deception. It says your word, Father God, says many will be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Many. So use Latrice, Father God, to prepare people now for what's to come so that they don't fall victim, so that they don't fall prey to their enemy, who's seeking the earth like a roaring lion, is roaming the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let her teach your people how to identify the roaring lion even when he comes like a prophet healing and coming and claiming that he's the Christ and having all the characteristics,
mm-hmm.
and seeming like a peaceful man who just loves people and wants to heal the earth and all these things. Use Latrice to teach people how to identify danger and deception even when it doesn't appear to be dangerous or deceptive, to give people knowledge and wisdom that we can't go thinking that trouble looks one way. Trouble comes in many forms. Trouble
Amen.
Could be beautiful. Trouble ain't always ugly. Trouble could be beautiful. Trouble could come like it's going to alleviate pain and give you peace.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be trouble. So use her, Father God, to minister and to teach and to equip your people to identify so that they don't fall victim to the snares and the traps of the enemy.
Yes.
And just give her a boldness, Father God, like never before, to where she will even tell the person themselves, you are alive from the gates of hell. You do not come in the name of my Father, and you are not the Christ. You are a fallen angel,
mm-hmm.
cloaked in a false light. with no Christ in you, despite what you're trying to say. You have the tongue of a liar, and you come to deceive. Give her the boldness to look them in the face and tell them that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I feel like if you begin to attack for that, the enemy tries to attack you because he knows that you see him. So he's trying to attack you and get you distracted on other things because he knows you see him.
Mm-hmm.
You see him. So, of course, if somebody knows that you can recognize them, they're going to set off a bomb here. They're going to set off a bomb there. So you're trying to put out the fire here. You're trying to put out the fire there. And so they try to slip past because they know that if you're on watch and you see them, you say, oh, no, I recognize them. They might have a disguise on, but I see through that rubber mask. I know who you are. So they try to do a set little fires all around you and distract you and get your eyes off the post and the watch that God has you on. But you got to clearing things up so that all the little fires around you, you don't have to just put them in the hands of God. I'm not dealing with that because I'm on watch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to have to burn, so be it. If it got to burn, so be it. But that's not what I'm on post to do. They got a whole fire department for that. So I'm staying on watch to make sure that people don't slip by and the enemy doesn't slip by because he tries to come with his little rubber mask and wig on and I identify him. And that's what I see you really doing. God, just trust God, all the little stuff that goes on that he's causing, a little chaotic thing. No, just God, you deal with that. I'm on watch.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to put a fast one on me and try to slide by, try to roller skate by while I've got my eyes focused on this and there's already something in place to work it out. No, it's not going to happen because you have a gift. A sight where you could see it. You could see the devil in it. You know, somebody could tell you a situation, you ain't even part of the situation, and you'll be able to see the devil in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the devil in that situation. Even though the situation may even look like it's all evil and cruel and all that, but you'll say the devil is in that situation. You got to cast that devil out to change it because the devil is all up and through that situation. You'll be able to see the devil in people. Like, I don't care if that person is acting like they're helpful. That's pure. That person is possessed by something. There's an evil that's pulling that person's string. You have a gift for that where you can see it, even though you're not, it's not in your vision. Somebody could be telling you something, and you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're telling it to you verbally, you're hearing it with your ears. So you're using your hearing, right? But you're still seeing it. To say, I don't have to lay eyes on it. You could be laying in the bed with your eyes closed and on the phone, and you'll be able to see it. To say, I know that this person, you think this is the one for you, but the devil is all up and through this. This is a match made from hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they might be nice and open doors for you and pull out your chair, but this is sent from the gates of hell, I'm telling you. You'll be able to see it. And just be bold enough to just say what needs to be said. People need to hear the truth because a lot of the times, you know, when you look in hindsight, people look in hindsight, there was that one person who wasn't on the rah-rah cheerleading team who was fighting with truth and saying, no, that's not right. Or no, that's not the person for you. Or no, that situation is not what you need to be. Or no, that's not the job that you need to be at. Or I wouldn't make that move. And maybe even, you know, at the time they might not have appreciated it because a lot of people aren't looking for truth. They're looking for co-signers. They want you to agree with the things that they're doing because they're trying to find comfort and agreement. Because when a lot of people say it's okay, then they feel okay with it. Yeah, because Latrice said it was okay and this person said it was okay and that person. So now they gain confidence in that. So a lot of people are just looking for that. They're looking for agreement and not truth. So then when you come with the truth, they get mad at you. But it's like they coming at you like they're looking for the truth, but really their ulterior motive is that they're looking for a co-signer.
All right.
So they might get mad at you, but then down the line, if they don't heed what you're having vision to see, they'll be like, well, dang, Latrice tried to warn me. She did tell me that that wasn't a good situation, or she did tell me not to make that move. And then they'll come back, and you tell them that that was God's grace. You know, God's grace is for the taking, but everybody don't take it.
Amen.
But it's there for the taking. But they don't take it. Then they get mad at God, be like, my grace was there. You didn't, and it's sufficient. She didn't want it. You want to do your own thing. But my grace is still there, so you can still take it, and it's still sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change. God's grace being sufficient is a law, like reaping and sowing. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I see for you, Latrice.
Amen. I do thank you guys. And once again, you're on point. Even with the demonstrations, I had maybe one or two of those between the last 2 days. Oh, God is still moving. And I decree and declare the continued blessings upon your life as well. And he will continue to make you rich and add no sorrow to it. And as soon as you think of a thing, that he'll bring it to pass in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, we receive him. Thank you for it.
Amen.
Wow.
And have an excellent evening.
You too.
All right. Thanks again.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Wow. 610-969. Who are we speaking with? Where are you calling from? 610-969. There you go.
Shalom. Shalom. This is Lisa from Pennsylvania.
Hey,
shalom.
Lisa, how are you?
What's up? I'm good. How about you guys? Can you hear me all right, or should I take you off the speaker?
You're fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have to hold PA down.
PA is good right now. It's very hot to have a thunderstorm, but it's good right now.
Yeah, all good. Actually, the weather's been pretty good for a couple of days for me.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't been this hot. We've been getting a lot of rain. We've been getting a lot of rain, so
yeah, we're going to be getting rain.
Yeah. It just, I like the rain. I just, you know, don't trust them drivers that be out there. They can't drive in the rain.
Ooh. I know, right?
It's real hard. It's the real true life decision you got to have when you get out there in that water. But I honestly, God is really letting you make known the risks that are involved. You know, people really take for granted a lot of things, Lisa. But they don't really see the risk, that the potential risks that are involved. They're
mm-hmm.
just looking at what needs to get done, right? And so
mm-hmm.
with us in the body of Christ and how we walk and how we move, what is normally a risk in someone else's life is a win in ours, because God uses everything, you know, to work together for our good, even just going to the grocery store, you know, there's a risk involved. You know, you're getting in your car, you're risking an opportunity to be in a car accident. You're risking an opportunity where your car could malfunction and now you get be stuck on the side of the road. You know, you're risking going getting to the grocery store and what you're looking for ain't there. You know, it's all like a risk is involved. But when you are doing and you're following what God is telling you to do, the risks are lifted. Because like God told Tanisha to go to the grocery store that night to get their meat.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't no risk involved. No risk on her getting that was involved. But all she had to do was make a decision whether to obey or not to obey. And that's what we as believers, that's the only risk that I see us taking, is whether we believe or we don't believe, or we're going to do or not do what the Lord says to be done. And so with you God is going to show you like a lot of the risks that people are taking without Him. When God is not present, how like magnified the risks are in their lives that they take for granted every day for His grace. It's still there, you know, and it's gonna cause an urgency in you, like a sprinter, you know. When they are made to sprint, and when they get to the start line, you know, they ready to hit that track at the highest speed for the short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's coming down to for you. God is putting that sprinter in you to get there, a sense of urgency because of these risks really being magnified. And I don't know why he's going to magnify the risk of what others go through in to you. I don't know why he's doing it, but I just know that's what he's going to do. And what you're going to have to do in that situation is to really show them how they can minimize their risk. It's like really showing them what they're grateful for. Because when we look back over our lives and we see all the risks that we took, it wasn't thinking about it. And watching how God's grace was there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's there the whole time, but we're living in the day where people really have to know the risk that they're taking and the chances that they are really taking to where their souls could be lost, to where their souls could be lost. Because we are living in the day of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in the days as Noah.
Say it again, one more time.
We are living in the days as Noah.
Amen. Wow.
And we need some ark builders. We need some people that's going to stand out. And not do the popular thing. So like I told Steve, I don't mind being called crazy. You know, because I know the truth. You can call me crazy all day. I don't care. I'm not going to get upset. Because I know the truth. I know who the real crazy one is. Because if I start arguing with I know what crazy is, then I know for sure I'm crazy.
There you go.
And so God is going to show you what to give air to, breath to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What to really give breath to. Because every breath we take is counted for.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And a lot of times we are wasting breath.
Mm-hmm.
We're wasting breath on things that's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Wasting breath on people that ain't gonna change. And we have to be okay with it. We just have to be okay with it. So God is definitely gonna like really increase your awareness of who to waste use breath on. And what to use breath toward. Because even some issues that we talk about is a waste of breath, because it really doesn't carry any weight. It's a smoke screen.
Okay.
you know, smoke. And when you think about the smoke screen, smoke doesn't hurt. Smoke screen ain't slapping you. It just distorts your vision for a minute. Cover your mouth and your nose. And guess what? It's gonna pass by real shortly. You know, very shortly. It's gonna pass by. And so you'll be able to see. So don't waste time fighting the smoke. Breathing in the smoke. just know the things that you're supposed to do in the different stages of war, different stages of battle. Different stages of battle. God teaching you how to battle, really.
Yeah.
How to use your arsenal in your training properly. Yes. Yes. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's what I got for you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we just thank you right now for Lisa. Father God, we thank you for teaching her about weapons and equipping people with weapons of warfare. I see Terrence and I were talking about this the other day. We were talking about weapons, and we were saying that it's not enough to have a weapon. You have to properly use it. You know, if somebody's coming at you and you've got a gun and you're trying to stab them with it, it renders the weapon useless.
Absolutely.
Because you're not using it properly. And so a lot of people in the body of Christ know the weapon. They even know how to access the weapon. They don't know how to use the weapon. And having a weapon and not knowing how to use it is like having no weapon. And so I see God using you to teaching you about the weapons of our warfare and how to use them. Because you can't just put, like even the military when they're training, they don't just put a gun in your hand and say, well, go to war. Mm-hmm. You could cause loss on your own side if you do that. But they train you on how to use the weapon. You know, even any type of sports that requires weapons like fencing or that kind of thing that could be seen as a weapon, you have to be trained to know what to do and how to not cause injury that you're not wanting to cause, and how what needs to be done. And so that's what God is going to use you to teach the body of Christ. How do we use our weapons so that we can win? It's not enough to have the knowledge of it, but you got to know how to use the weapons too. Lord, we just thank you for Lisa, Father God, that you're teaching her and that you're going to use her to teach your body of Christ how to use the weapons to win. Not just, oh, I know what the weapons are and don't use them. Or I know how to get to the weapons and don't know how to use it. But to know how to access it, what the weapons are, how to use it so that we win. Using her to set your people up to win. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was good.
You're welcome. Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to listen to it again.
Of course.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Terrence and Tanisha. This weekend I have to speak, and I just want prayer to speak the word of the Lord the most effectively. And that the Holy Spirit will prepare the hearts beforehand to hear. And
mm-hmm.
Just fall on open ears. And prepared hearts, softened hearts.
Yes. Yes. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Bless you, guys.
Thank you.
I really
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks.
Good night.
903-808.
Hey there, you fine people. How y'all tonight? This is Jenny.
Good. Hey, Jenny. How you been?
Good to hear y'all. How you praying for your back, brother?
Thank you. I sure need it.
I understand. That's not fun. That is not fun. Yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of y'all for 2 or 3 weeks, actually. I wanted y'all to pray since the Lord had helped y'all find your house and helped you get it purchased and whatnot. It's kind of like y'all have had breakthrough in that area, so I wanted to call in and get prayer since our search is still going and still just, man, the market is crazy and prices are nuts and people are, I mean, the houses will have multiple offers and they're, you know, the prices will go up, you know, way up above the asking, and it's a difficult time to buy a property. So, anyhow, I just thought I would call in for prayer tonight.
Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jeannie right now, Father God. We just thank you for peace. We thank you for peace and comfort. Father God, you making her way known. And revealing to her secrets in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
We just thank you, Lord, for making ways out of no way. God is going to use this time, Jeannie, for you to see what he's capable of. So that he gets full of credit. He gets glory out of it. Because, like you say, the market is crazy. Yeah, it is. It is. I know people that have of situations where they've put down $50,000 to $100,000 over the asking price in their bid for a home and still were outbid but I see God carving out what's for you and I thank God I release the anointing now in Jesus name on you to find what's for you. And that what's for you is presented to you, and that it's protected and it's being held just for you. And we just thank God for that now. We just thank you that you release your faith for what's for you to see what's for you can still come in a time where the circumstances ain't lining up for you. The situations, the market ain't working in your favor, but God does.
Mm-hmm.
But God does. And so we just thank you for timing. Now in Jesus' name, we thank you for that peace in Jesus' name. And that calm, that assurance. That assurance and knowing. Yes. Because if God says this is for you, it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I when I think about our housing situation, he told us that almost 5 years before it manifested. Yeah. He told us where we were going. And he told us it hadn't been built. In the midst of that, we heard what God had said, but in the process, we were still looking for houses outside of the area in which God said. We were looking for homes that were already built. But God said it hadn't been built, and it's in this particular city. That's all he gave us. But in the process, he trained us to be reminded and to be focused on what he said first. And so whatever God has told you, that's what's going to happen. And so we just thank God that you're lining up with the word that he's giving you to receive it and to walk in it in full authority in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What I saw, Jeannie, is it's like hidden. I see God, like, hidden things, God bringing it forth. And so it really doesn't matter what's going on right now. That's the world's problem, but God has things set aside and hidden for you, so that when once you receive it, people are going to say, man, how was you able to get that? How was you able to score that? And you're like, God hid that just for me, because it was for me. So you didn't get to see it, or it wasn't mass listed, or whatever the case may be, that it was hidden. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the hidden things. Let that be done, and let that come forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I have said that very thing many times. You know, the Lord, actually, Randy gave us a prophetic word back in the beginning of 2012 that Lord was going to show us the area we were supposed to be. So we have now for 8 years been looking and searching out the area until we really in our spirit could figure out exactly kind of, you know, like put a circle around the area that God wanted us.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, you know, as we looked, it would get a little discouraging. And you know, my husband, sometimes he would say, well, we haven't found anything. And I kept telling him, it's hidden. When we have the money and everything's in place, then it'll come forth. And that's what I've always believed. But anyhow, I appreciate y'all praying. We're getting ready very quickly. We need the weather to dry up a little better than it is, but very quickly to start renovations here, and believing that we'll have all the renovations done here in 60 to 90 days, so that but then the house will be ready to put up for sale. But I can't put it up for sale until we have something else, because we have too many animals. So anyway, I told him, I said, we'll fix this place up, and we will sit tight till we find the place God has for us. So anyhow, I thank y'all for the prayer, and you know, I believe it. I know in my heart God's got it. It is a difficult search right now, but it's exciting to search in one hand, and on another hand, it's like, boy, we wore the tires out on the vehicle just about going up there and looking. But anyhow, thank y'all. Thank you. I won't keep you. I'll give you time to be able to minister to some others, but I appreciate the prayer.
Thank you, Jeannie. We appreciate you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good evening. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Aunt Felice from college from Orlando. I'm a little stuffy. I got a sinus infection, so I might sound a little muffled.
That's okay. Repeat your name.
Aunt Felice.
You saying Angelis?
Aunt Felice.
Antelise.
Yeah.
Antelise. Okay.
That's pretty.
Antelise.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's pray for you.
Can I say it with the accent? Antelise.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Antelise right now. Lord, we thank you for her life. We thank you, Father God, for the joy that you are, that she's going to really understand what true joy is, and to walk in joy. And she's going to understand that the joy of the Lord is her strength, and how to access that when she's feeling weak, or in areas even that she's feeling weak, that you're going to practically give her steps on what that means. What does it mean, the joy of the Lord is my strength? How do we have the joy of the Lord, especially when we're facing uncertainty or things that are unpleasant or uncomfortable? And Lord, I just thank you that you are teaching her what that means, how to do it, so that she knows how to be strong, how to be strong. You're teaching her what true strength is. The joy of the Lord is her strength, and she can do all things through Christ who strengthens her. And when she's made weak, you're made strong. So you're teaching her all of the different ways that you bring us strength and what it means to truly be strong. And sometimes what you say is strength is the opposite of what the world says is strength. But Lord, you're going to use her to be an example to the world of what it means to really be strong, to truly be strong, the truth of it. Because, Lord, we know that you have defined everything. Everything is defined by you. You have a definition for it, and the world's definition is always the opposite. But you're going to use her to show what your definition is of strength. And Lord, just heal her right now, that sinus infection, Lord, let that clear up. Let the mucus and all the stuff that's in there just clear up right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you for us tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the presence, the piercings hurt. But after a while, the pain subsides and the piercing is there, and you can put whatever jewelry in it, you know. But to present. You know, the piercing was made to hold something, to present these earrings, you know, or what have you. And so I see, like, the piercings that you've gone through, God is using those to present things, you know, to present your authenticity in different situations. To present like your relatability, you know, to the ability to be relatable, you know, those that's what those piercings can be used for, because now you have areas where you can present things and show up in and really have a voice. And so I see God really teaching you, you know, how to speak, you know, and really how to use your voice, and really how to be heard, and knowing the power behind being heard, you know, not really focusing on the followers, you know, who's following you, but focusing on the work getting done. The phrase says, if you build it, they will come, right? It's not about people sitting there waiting on you to build something. They don't even know it's coming. But you build it because you know what you're building it for. And so you have to stay focused on it. They are going to come. But you have to build it. And building has to be more exciting than a follower.
Mm.
It has to be more of a focus on building it and sustaining it because of what you're building it for. The purpose of why you're building should be solidified. It should be solid in your everyday focus. On what you're building versus who's coming, because a lot of times, you know, you build something and you know what you're building it for, and then it seems like it attracts everybody that you've been building it for.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see those people on how they're going to end up. We're seeing them how they came. But if you continue to focus on the work, the work is going to do what it goes out to do. It changes. But just keeping people engaged is key. Keeping them engaged. And God is going to increase your platform to keep people engaged. As long as you're engaging them the way God wants you to engage them. Just do it the way the Lord wants you to do it. Don't do it like everybody else, because he's made yours unique. He's made yours unique, and so he engage them how God wants you to engage them, not how you want. And that's what I got for you.
Well, Jesus, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you guys. I just called in for prayer because I recently relocated to Orlando. I had fasted for like 28 days. I was going through a lot, and just things just weren't working out at home. And I just wanted to change to something new. On the 28th day, he told me to move, and I just sold everything I had and just packed up my daughter and left. And
wow.
I don't know, it's just, things have been going well, but like things have just been kind of like strange and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to like, I'm here trying to promote my business and just provide a different life for my kid. And I don't know, I think I have moments where I feel like what if this goes wrong? What if this, or being that things aren't going so right, like I'm so used to things going wrong after something goes right, so. I don't know. I'm just not caught up for prayers because I've just been a little overwhelmed.
Yes, yes. And we just ask that God will provide you peace and comfort.
Yeah.
And teaching you how to endure.
Right.
Giving you the strength to endure. Because sometimes we want to get out of a situation, but the situation we're in is just what we needed to bring out what's in us that needs to come out. And so I just pray that God will release out of you what needs to come out, that you release what needs to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And that your eyes will begin to see things from the godly perspective of how God is in the situation, and always seeking to find God in every situation.
Yeah.
Where God is present, it's a God situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a song that came to me. It's called Overcome, and the artist is Montel Fish. So listen to that song. That's the song that came to me when you were talking about what you were going through. But he's saying, he's basically asking the Lord, teach me to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to be taught how to overcome. When we get put in situations that we've never been in before, we don't know what to do. Like you say, those thoughts come, all sorts of, you know, it's new to us. And especially if it's chaotic, we have to be taught, how do I overcome? Because failure is not an option. Losing is not an option. Giving up is not an option. So teach me how to overcome so that those are not options that I will even gravitate toward. So listen to that song, Montel Fish, Overcome.
Overcome.
And God is going to teach you how to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Wow.
Well, that's our time tonight. We're going to clear it off. So Randy, to get on, I'm going to do collective prayer over those that we didn't reach. Lord, we just thank you right now for all of our callers, Father God, that you would meet the needs, Lord, of your people, that you would give them hope and strength, Father God, and perspective. It's all about perspective. Everything shifts through the mind, and give us clean minds so that we are hearing what you would have for us, Father God, that you're, that we hear the direction of the Lord, not of the world or feelings or all these other things, that we are hearing your guidance, your steps, your directions, and let us be bold enough to walk in them without any fear, Father God. Let this be a month where we shed all the fears. We shed all of the insecurities. We shed all of the what ifs, and we take a leap of faith and do what it is that you want us to do. Let that all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.